Welcome, friends, to the DUMC Online Church Celebration. And since we are still within the 15-day festive window, a blessed Chinese New Year to everyone who celebrate this festivity. It is indeed a strange celebration, as many of us celebrate with our family from out of state via Zoom, rather than our usual family get-together. And here's a photo that I'm with my parents, siblings, and their families. And my parents are in their 80s and are good with Zooming. So thank God for technology, and I can't wait to go back home to see them when MCO is lifted. A special welcome to those who are joining us for the first time. I am Pastor Chris Kam, the senior pastor of this church, and it is an honor to have you join us. A quick update on our anniversary gift weekend, where our collection is sent out to more than 130 organizations and people from around the world. As of 17th of February, we have received a total of 4,201,649 ringgit in cash and pledges. We can thank God for that. And you can see the breakdown on the screen. Our target is for 5.5 million, and we have already reached 76% of that sum. Thank God for that. If you have not participated in this, please prayerfully consider. Go to our website, click on the menu on top of the screen that says Give, and all the information is there for you to give or pledge. And don't forget to indicate on the reference field the letters AGW. And let me share with you one story all the way from Bangladesh. A small tribe called the Bom people. There are only about 9,000 of them in total. And we're in touch with the Bangladesh Bom Tribal Baptist Church in the Bandarban Hill District. And our AGW fund has supported the work of the 11 pastors reaching out to the Bom, the Maru, the Chakma, the Tanchangya, and Kamui tribes, and provided for the 27 needy tribal children to continue their education while staying in the hostel. And here's a thank you note from Pastor Lazuan Bom, the lead pastor of the church. And he says this: thank you very much for your prayer support and financial assistance for the 10 pastors and myself, which have been very helpful for our ministry in the remote area of the Three Hill Districts among the needy and poor tribal peoples. Thank you also for the financial support for the 27 needy tribal children. They are very grateful and have finished and passed their final examinations in December 2020. I praise and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for all these provisions. Let's continue to give generously. I received an amusing text from a cell group after my first sermon about offerings and sacrifices. Let me quote this interesting text. She said, "We have just finished our cell group. I was facilitating word tonight. As much as I found your sermon interesting and also intriguing on Saturday, I was also having this thought at the back of my mind. How am I going to lead the word session? It's such a difficult topic. But tonight, we had an awesome time of sharing. I'm now even more intrigued with Leviticus and looking forward to the rest of the series." And I hope we all are. Why don't we stand right now and hold up our Bible? You know the drill. This is my Bible. Are you ready? Okay, one, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. And let's read aloud together the passage on the screen right now from Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 to 8. Let's read it aloud together. Let's proclaim the Word of God. Ready? One, two, go. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is ceremonially unclean for you. The hyrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It is unclean for you. And the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not clean their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and illumine our minds, God, that we may understand your word and apply it to our life, because your word brings life, Lord, to our spirit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The commandments found in Leviticus are part of the law of Moses received from God. There are 613 laws in total. And out of the 613 laws, 247 of them, nearly half of the total, is found here in Leviticus. Note that it is called the law of Moses in singular, not the laws of Moses with an S, a plural. It is singular because all the laws hang together as one. Holiness also means wholeness. It is what God wants to do in us, making us whole, complete, and healthy in our minds, emotions, and body. If you break any one of the 613 laws, you break the entire law. And David Pawson used the illustration of a lady's necklace of beads, you know, for the law. If this necklace breaks at any point, the entire necklace falls apart. And God's standard for holiness is extremely high, as He is a holy God. And let me tell you why. If you were a Jew during those times, you would study this book very, very carefully. The consequences of disobedience to these laws are literally life-changing. You know, you can lose the three most important things of your life: your home, your citizenship, or your life. There are 15 sins in Leviticus that call for the death penalty. If you were to face such possible consequences, you will surely study this book very carefully. To understand the importance, you must read this with a Jewish eyes and mind, which could mean life or death. The centrality of Scripture is not that God is love, although this is certainly an important theme. The centrality of Scripture is that God is holy, and we cannot approach God and survive unless our sin issue is dealt with. You know, my first sermon on offerings and sacrifices dealt with that. God gave the Jewish people a way out of their sin problem. Because of His holiness, He cannot accept them in their sins. But because of His love and grace, He provided a way out for them through animal sacrifices. The simple message of Leviticus is this: you cannot get into God's presence unless you are holy in Him. And today's message is simply that you cannot go near to God unless you are clean. I want to remind all of us that God's purposes or purpose for us is to make us holy first and not happy. So what God is saying is this: the way to happiness is to be holy, because holiness is synonymous with wholeness, being complete. So holiness and happiness belong together. And if you are unholy, you will be unhappy. Maybe let me put it another way. Which comes first, holiness or happiness? You see, most people get it wrong. And sometimes in our haste to get people to Christ, we promise them happiness first, and then they get disappointed. They may say, "Hey, my life is not any better since I became a Christian. It seems to get worse." And that getting worse part is about God dealing with their own nature. Well, it can get painful at first, but assure them, better days will be coming because God is removing all the hindrances to a spirit-filled life. So we tend to want it the other way around: happy here on earth and holy in eternity. Well, God's way for us is to be holy here first and happy in the next. We need to get the order right. So, you know, if breaking one of the 613 laws breaks the entire law, the one with the capital L, then God knew the Jews were not able to keep the law. They would never become righteous, as they cannot be perfectly obedient. So He set up a sacrificial system. And from Leviticus chapter 1 to 7, He outlined how in the midst of their sinfulness, they can still come into the presence of God and survive. And today, this prophetic provision hidden in Leviticus is found in the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, who did away with animal sacrifices 1,400 years later. Christ is a better sacrifice, a better high priest, and a better altar. And this was a pleasing aroma of Christ to God for the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus said to his disciples these words in Luke 24, verse 44. And he said, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Now, chapter 11 to 15 deals with a whole section which is very challenging for us modern readers because it focuses on the concept of being clean and unclean. The word unclean appears 146 times in Leviticus. It answers the question of how can I be clean before God so that I can enter His presence? And here's the big idea. All of your life is to be lived under the watchful eye of God. Let me say that again. All of your life is to be lived under the watchful eye of God. Whether you are in the kitchen, office, bedroom, your school, church, behind a computer, eating, awake or sleeping, every day, 24/7, He watches over you. It can sound good or bad, depending on where you are spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." How can that be true if God's eyes are not on us 24/7? It is bad news if we live in sin, but good news when we live in holiness and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 21, verses 7 to 8 says, "He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore." Literally. You see, God wants to be part of your life, all of your life. For the Jews, this was what it meant. Chapter 11, regulations about food, those animals that Jews could or could not eat. And chapter 12, interestingly, is about childbirth. And chapter 13, about how to identify and handle skin diseases. It also deals with mildew and mold, the fungus that grows in your home, which is bad for health, causing allergies, asthma, and breathing problems. And chapter 14 deals with the ritual cleansing and pronouncement of those who are healed and declared clean. And chapter 15 is probably your favorite chapter on bodily discharges. Yucks, you know. And these chapters remind us that we live in a very broken and sinful world. And we are easily contaminated and influenced by all the things around us that draws us away from God. So let's begin. Leviticus chapter 11 verses 1 to 3 says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud.'" So here God gave them the categories of clean animals they could eat in Leviticus chapter 11 verses 1 to 8. And those with divided hoofs, those that chews the cud, like a cow, having chewed and swallowed the grass they ate, they will regurgitate the partially digested grass back to their mouth and chew it for the second time so that they can be digested better when it goes back, you know, the second time around. And that's why you see a cow chewing all the time, 40,000 times a day, up to 8 hours a day. It sounds terrible to be, you know, re-chewing the food that has gone into your stomach, but that's what chewing the cut means. A cow and a goat fall under the clean animal category and hence can be eaten, but not a horse and a camel. Bad news for the Chinese about the pig, because the pig is considered an unclean animal, although its hooves are divided, but they are not cut chewing. Many of you will surely go into depression if this law still applies today. No char siu and no siu yok. Here's another slide of unclean animals. Here's a slide of water animals as described in verses 9 to 12. They are clean when they have scales and fins, unclean otherwise. So bad news for those who love crabs and lobsters. Here's a slide of birds as described in verses 13 to 19. Chicken, quail, and dove are clean, but not bat, owl, or eagle. Interestingly, here's a slide of clean and unclean insects. Crickets and grasshoppers are clean, but not beetles, dragonflies, and thankfully cockroaches. The thing is, God did not tell us why certain animals are clean or unclean. But we can give an intelligent guess, and much of it was hygiene in nature. As the Jews did not have governmental agencies like the FDA in USA or our MOH, Ministry of Health agencies in Malaysia, that regulate harmless or harmful food and drug. You see, the Jews, they didn't have MOH then, but they have G-O-D. We know one of the factors leading to the pandemics today are virus crossing the species due to bad practice of eating wildlife. God already knew about germs, virus, and infectious diseases. Why did God bring up the distinction between clean and unclean animals? While there were practical reasons of hygiene for the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, there was a theological distinction that God wanted the Jews to have. And that is, they were to be different from the pagan inhabitants of the land that made no distinction of what is clean and what is unclean. To be holy, as God is holy, simply means you are set apart to be different in what you eat and how you conduct yourself socially. Only holy people can enter God's presence. You are holy when you are clean. And because we live in a fallen world, we get unclean very quickly. So the Bible says, stay away from things that are unclean and be different from the rest of the world. And these things will make you stand out and be recognized as God's people. In Leviticus chapter 15, verse 31 says, you must keep the Israelites separate from things that make them unclean, so that they will not die in their uncleanness for defiling my dwelling place, which is among them. Remember the story of Moses when he encountered the burning bush. He heard God's voice. He said, God says, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. God is telling Moses that his presence makes the ground holy. And God met Moses to reveal his plan for saving the people of Israel. But Moses had to approach God in God's terms. We cannot simply walk into God's presence carelessly in any way we like. Do you have holy ground in your home? Sometimes when you return from work and your wife or your mom had just mopped the floor, she will say to you, the floor is clean. Make sure your feet are clean. This is holy ground to the homemakers. And this gives you the same idea with God. This place where I am is clean. Your feet are dirty. You have walked around everywhere outside. I may welcome you as a person, but I don't welcome your dirt. If you honor me, if you recognize my purity, please clean your feet. This is the same idea with God. We need to cleanse ourselves by God's standard, not our standard, before we enter into his presence. Now, chapter 12 talks about how a woman is unclean after giving birth. Well, giving birth in itself is not sinful, but the rationale behind this may have been that any bleeding, a menstrual cycle, or any discharge of the body, like in chapter 15, were considered to lack wholeness and hence unclean. And one law which we may not understand was why God made the sexual act unclean. Although we do know that the sexual relationship in a marriage is not a sin, but a gift from God. We were not told the reason, but we can make an intelligent guess. You see, God wanted the nation of Israel to stand out and be different from the Canaanite religion, where engaging in sexual relationships with temple prostitutes were common then. It's an acceptable practice. God wanted to make sure that illicit sexual relationship should never be part of worship to God in the tabernacle or temple. And chapters 13 and 14 covers skin diseases. The older translation used the word leprosy, although NIV translated it as defiling skin disease, which had a broader coverage of all kinds of skin diseases, including some caused by mold, fungus, or mildew. And here, 3,400 years ago, God was instructing the use of SOP for social and physical distancing through a 7th and 14th day quarantine, and then an examination by the priest. The priest did not function as a doctor to prescribe treatment. He functioned more like a public health officer who quarantined a person with contagious skin disease or diseases. So please read for yourself all the unpleasant details. Well, if this person was somehow healed, he would ask for a priest who would examine him, and if indeed his skin disease was cured, there would be an elaborate process of ritual cleansing to really help him to assimilate back to his community. Remember the story of the healing of the 10 lepers by Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 to 14. It says that as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and that's social distancing, and call out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. And that's following the law of Moses. The central idea of chapters 11 to 15 for the Jews was that becoming unclean in and of itself was not a sin. But in the everyday course of events, people can get or become unclean, which then become a serious sin if they were to enter into the tabernacle. So God wanted to make sure that all the Israelites knew when they become unclean, like the world. But they must take steps now to become clean again. Now, what about today? In modern day terms, we need to ask ourselves, in what ways have our feet become unclean as we walked in the world? How can we be sure our feet are clean? Remember, Jesus said he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill them. The demands of the law are fulfilled by Jesus' death on the cross. And that doesn't mean there's no relevance or spiritual significance to God's laws. We must again ask ourselves, just as the sacrifices and offerings in chapters 1 to 7 pointed to Jesus as a sacrifice and priest for our sins, how are these laws in chapters 11 to 15 reflected in the New Testament truth today? So what's on your mind now is this question. Are these laws, regulations, and restrictions still applicable and relevant for us today? That's a great question. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is that these specific laws and regulations are no longer applicable, as they were meant to help the Israelites determine whether they are fit to enter the tabernacle. You see, tabernacle and temple worship, the physical one, are over. In the New Testament, we are God's temple in whom His Spirit dwells. So those who love their pork, the crab, the lobster, rejoice. But we must still use our common sense for our health, what we should or should not eat. The least in that sense is still applicable for health reasons. So how do we apply the concept of clean or unclean in the New Testament? We still need to ask ourselves the same question. Are we clean or unclean as we enter God's presence? And Jesus explained this truth to his disciples. Listen to this carefully in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. In verse 18, "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And all these evils come from inside and defile a person." We know our sins are forgiven on the basis of Jesus' death on the cross. But we also know in our journey of faith in this world, we battle our flesh daily from within. And these battles are fought in the minds. This is the place where the greatest spiritual warfare takes place. Jesus is saying that the listing of unclean foods and the need for ceremonial washing is reflective of what's going on in your or our inner life. The question is not what you have touched or what food you have eaten. The question for you is, what's in your heart? What's inside you? You may look at the list and say, no, that's not me. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Doesn't sound like me. I'm a good Christian, you know. Let me ask this question. Murder? Well, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, that if we are angry with our brother or sister, we are guilty of murder. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, anyone who hates a brother or sister, and we are talking here about a Christian, is a murderer. What about sexual immorality, adultery? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He's saying, if you can think it, you can do it. Greed, envy, arrogance, deceit. We often tell small lies, right, to look better if we are honest with ourselves. Slander. Telling untruth about another person or telling a truth to make the other person look bad. Can we all honestly say that we went through this entire week without exhibiting in our thoughts at least one of these unclean thoughts? We are not saints, we know. These inner thoughts make us unclean and impure. I wonder what's in our thoughts when we enter into the presence of God in our celebration today. How do we defile this temple of worship? The corporate gathering of every member of DUMC, called the Body of Believer. Have we shown contempt to God by this inner thought still there? We can go through religious rituals of prayer, Bible studies, serving in ministries, attending cell group, but our hearts are not clean. And that's the meaning of clean and unclean. Do you see the power of the prayer of confession at every Holy Communion? We pray through it, but let's be serious with that. The first line says, merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, and we continue to pray on. But you may say, hold it, Pastor Chris. Aren't we righteous once and for all when we are saved? Aren't we covered by the blood of Jesus? No, you are right. But to answer this question, we need to distinguish between our salvation and our cleanness. Remember the two-part theme behind the book of Leviticus. Part 1 from chapters 1 to 16 says, it's about the way to God through sacrifice. And we call that, use that big word, justification. And that is an access to God. We are made righteous. And part 2, chapters 17 to 27, a walk with God through sanctification, meaning that in a walk with God, there is a lifestyle in God that we need to cultivate. So part one is a done deal by Jesus. Part two is a walk with God on this earth as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You see, there's an old man and a new man, and this old man and new man in a struggle every day. We must battle the issues of cleanness and uncleanness in our thought lives and how it is expressed out through our actions every day. Remember the interaction between Jesus and Peter in the upper room the night when Jesus was arrested. Peter was offended that his master was going to wash his feet. John 13 verse 8 says, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered this, and listen to this carefully. Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. When we teach this passage, we often emphasize the last clause, that our whole body is clean, meaning we are saved. That's true. But Jesus is also saying we need to have our feet washed regularly. Because in our walk through this world, we become unclean in so many ways. Some intentionally and some unintentionally. And some of these defilements can be avoided and some cannot. And there will be many times we need to wash our feet. And holiness does not mean perfection on our part. Holiness on our part is to recognize the completed work of Christ for our salvation by grace and to live a life of humble confession and repentance daily. You know, we have this theme for the church, my presence will go with you. What does that mean to you? It means every day is holy ground for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 exhorts us to draw near to God with a sincere heart, meaning an examined heart. We allow the Word of God to examine our hearts every day by reading and meditating. In other words, dwelling in His Word. Laying bare our inadequacies, defilement, mistakes, and our sins. In thoughts, and our words, and our deeds. And God will cleanse us. He will never reject us when we humble ourselves. So do you have a clear conscience? Are you sprinkled clean? Are you preparing yourself day by day, feeding on God's word, letting it wash you and clean you? And do you invite God's presence into your lives every day? A good habit is to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And I know many of you are doing that. What are going through your thoughts every day? Do you keep short account of your sins? And this is a message of Leviticus chapters 11 to 15 for us today. Steer clear of things that make us unclean. And when we do that, we are holy. We stand out to be recognized as God's people. Are you different from the world? Make good and wise decisions every day under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's here to be a helper. If you have not invited the Holy Spirit into your life, you can do that today. Let's ask this question again. How can I be clean before God so that I can enter into His presence? Let me bring back the big idea one more time. All of your life is to be lived under the watchful eye of God. All of your life is to be lived under the watchful eye of God. And let me end with this illustration from the anointing of the priests from Leviticus chapter 8, verses 23, which Pastor Mike preached, you know, 2 weeks ago. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. So this is what I want you to do right now. Will you touch your right ear right now? Just touch it. Will you touch your right thumb with your index finger? And if you can do that, just bend down and touch your big toe, the right big toe. Just do that quickly right now. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has anointed your ear, your thumb, and your toe from top to bottom. And our whole life as priests, which is our calling. What is the significance of this? May this priest, meaning us, hear the voice of God. May he do the will of God with his hands. And may he walk in the ways of God with his feet. This, my friends, is God's will for your life to be holy. And let's pray that daily we hear the voice of God, we do His will, and walk faithfully in the ways of God. And God is looking for consecrated, holy people 7 days of the week. Not just good people, there are plenty of good people around. But God is looking for holy people. An Irish evangelist once said, there are 5 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christians, the 5th Gospel. And some people will never read the first 4, but they will read you, the 5th one. Will the Gospel transform you to be more like Christ? Will you be that man or woman who lived out the gospel and be holy. Amen. And if you're not a Christian here today, well, I want to invite you. You have now this provision given by Jesus Christ to come into the presence of God. You don't have to work yourself towards being good first, because it is Jesus who makes you good. And if you're not a Christian and God has been speaking to you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And what is this prayer about? It's really about confession of your sin first. To say that, I'm sorry, God. And then you thank Jesus for what he did for you on the cross. And then you accept his forgiveness and invite him into your life. And that expresses the desires of your heart. Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Just bow your heads, and in your heart, if you're sincere, God will hear your prayer. Let's bow our heads and follow me after this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, in your heart right now, say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins. I'm not proud of what I have done. And I confess the sins before you and help me repent from this. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. You are the sacrificial lamb. Thank you that through your shed blood, my sins are totally forgiven. I receive your forgiveness, and today I invite you into my life and send your Holy Spirit into my life and make me a new person, a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have prayed that prayer with me, you know, God heard your prayer and he has forgiven you, and he will now come into your life through this person called the Holy Spirit. And you have said the prayer, we want to just connect with you. And on the screen right now, even the chat screen, you will see that button that says raise hands. I want you to click that button to indicate that you have said that prayer. And there's also a QR code right in front of the screen. You can, you know, take a picture of that and fill in the form that we'll give to you, so that we can give you something to help you in your Christian growth. So we really appreciate it if you can do that. But for the rest of us, you know, we need to come and offer and consecrate our life to God all over again. None of us can say that we have not sinned. It's a journey that we go through every day. So let's come to God and just offer ourselves to him once again to say that we love you, God, and we want to walk rightly with you. Remember your ear, your thumb, and your toe. Your ear, your hands, and your feet. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message of this book, a message that emphasizes both your holiness and your cleansing power. Thank you for all you've done for me. But I'm sorry for separating my faith from my lifestyle. Please help me to review my life. And I ask you to change my heart so that I can change the way I live. Give me a desire to be holy and the courage to stop sinning so that I may please you and demonstrate the real wholeness which holiness brings. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen. 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 So God bless you. Have a great week ahead of you. See you next weekend.